Good evening and welcome to Slam the Gavel, the show that tells it all regarding family court, other court issues, as well as CPS. I am your host, Marianne Petrie. This episode of Slam the Gavel is sponsored by CPS Protect Consulting Services. Child Protective Services cases are among the most frightening experiences any parent can face. Don't face them alone. With urgent assist by CPS Protect, you get the peace of mind to raise your children as you see fit. With the personalized assistance of their team of expert child welfare consultants, former CPS investigators themselves, right when you need it. Get started absolutely free at cpsprotect.com/register. And this is available in all 50 states. One other announcement, go to the site, pleasedoyourjob.com. We need 2,000 more signatures to get a very important case reopened. pleasedoyourjob.com petition. I have a brand new guest. I'm very proud to have Ginger Gentile on. She's a filmmaker. She's a fundraiser. She's also a speaker and a coach. She's very passionate about using her skills to help people and make a difference in the world. Storytelling is a powerful tool that can be used to raise awareness, educate, and inspire. She's also committed to helping families heal after divorce and trauma. She has appeared on the Red Table Talk, Bravo, South by Southwest, NBC, and other numerous podcasts. And I'm so very happy to have her on my podcast. Welcome, Ginger Gentile. How are you?
Man, it's great to be here. And we've known each other for a while, but it's great to finally do the podcast with you.
Yes, I'm so glad we can, because you've like gone into other areas after the Erasing Family film.
Yeah, so the Erasing Family film came out, and for everyone listening, you can watch it for free on YouTube. You can go to erasingfamily.org to get tons of great resources, including a kid's bill of rights for kids from divorced parents. Mm-hmm. And I've been in this space now, it's sometimes hard for me to believe, for almost over a decade. The first film I did about this topic, and this topic, I mean, high conflict divorce, parental alienation, trauma, resist, refuse, domestic violence by proxy, whatever you want to call it. My journey actually started in Argentina when I made a film called Erasing Dad in 2014. It was the first film censored in Argentina in democracy. It made me leave the country. But everybody wants to see a censored film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It became front page news. I was on all the major talk shows before I left. And it really got people to start talking about parental alienation. All these dads came out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. For the first time felt, you know, okay talking about that they couldn't see their kids. We'd go do news shows and they'd be like, the cameraman can't see his kids. Stuff like that. And after the film came out, and I say dads because in Argentina at the time, custody automatically went to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed the law to allow for joint custody and no more gender bias in the law. And then when I came back to the United States, I wanted to make a follow-up film. And I discovered two things in the United States. One was that a lot of mothers couldn't see their kids because this is such a big business and so corrupt in the United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really about money and more than ideology, I would say at this point. And then also the kids themselves, sometimes as young as 7, were posting on social media that they couldn't see a sibling, that they couldn't see a parent.
Aww.
So I was able to make a film that was very different. It's called Erasing Family. It's free to watch. And it's about the psychological trauma, but also healing of these children. So the film follows young survivors of parental alienation as they reunite in real time. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful film, but it does have happy endings in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then after that film came out, there was, you know, it was right during COVID. We had a lot of virtual screenings. Mm-hmm. And when I was making the film, I started to go on like Facebook Lives, back when that was like the thing before Instagram Lives. And just talk to people about what I was learning as I was making the film. And all these parents started contacting me asking for help. But at first I was like, well, I'm a filmmaker. I'm not, you know, this is what I do. But then at one point I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. I'll talk to you. And mm-hmm. I have now transitioned out of filmmaking. I still feel like I have a movie left in me. And I did make a movie after that called Exclusion U, which is about Ivy League schools. Very different topic. And mm-hmm. their admissions practices, or the scandal of how we're all paying for Ivy League schools you know, that they get a lot of subsidies and taxpayer money, even though they're so wealthy and they educate so few people. But to go back to the topic at hand, which is what your listeners want to know about, is what was so exciting. So like after that film, I just started to work with families, and now this is what I do full time. I trained to become a coach. I trained under Bill Eddy of the High Conflict Institute, and I work with the worst cases in divorce, the worst cases of parental alienation, and some parents, I would say, if we're lucky, they come to me early on in the divorce process, maybe before they've even gotten divorced. And then some come to me when it's been 10, 15 years. And there's, you know, what I'm seeing now is just, we're in a society, Marianne, that encourages alienation. And I don't just mean in the courts encourage alienation, or the professionals don't know what to deal with it, or the people who are supposed to reunite families with reunification therapy don't know what they're doing, or they don't have the tools, or they make the alienation worse. We live in a society where this narrative of cancel, block has become very pervasive. And people, the parents too, the parents on both sides, the children don't have the skills how to deal with conflict. So conflict becomes in their mind abuse. To be clear, there are cases that I work with where there's clear abuse. I work with a lot of moms who they are getting out of very abusive situations. I work with dads who are getting out of abusive situations, and the alienation is an extension. But if I'll give you one story that just I happened with last week. I was working with a mom, and the theme of lunch boxes, the son bringing the lunch box came up, and that dad didn't want to bring the lunch box over. And this the son is 14. And I asked, how long have the lunch box issue been going on for? And she said, over a year. So her and the ex have been fighting over lunch boxes for a year. He got her lunch boxes as a Christmas gift, along with like some chocolate and stuff. And she said she was so triggered, she threw out or donated the lunch boxes. And I said, could it be possible that he was so tired about talking to lunch boxes that he decided to buy 20 lunch boxes and give them to you? She's like, oh yeah. But like, there was what people tend to do in these situations, and this is because we've never been taught these skills. I was never taught these skills growing up, is we tend to make the conflict worse. We tend to try to explain our side instead of learning to let things go when they're not that important. Because I asked her, what if your son doesn't get the lunch box? Worst case scenario, he won't eat lunch. I'm like, okay, he's 14. Maybe he'll remember to pick up his lunch box the next day. But he's not gonna die. He's not gonna, you know, he's not a diabetic where if he doesn't eat every 3 hours, he has an insulin reaction. So, you know, I always talk with people, figure out what the worst case scenario is. If it's not that bad, sometimes you have to let it go.
Choose your
But
battles.
also, right, choose your battles. And then also, you know, and this goes a lot with people who are going back to court all the time, you have to give the other side proposals and not tell them what to do. And this can be very, you know, so please bring my son's lunchbox over. That's an order. And then the dad was like, I'm not going to do that. And she got upset. I was like, he has every right to say he's not bringing over the lunchbox. Like, he's his own person. You're divorced. Versus, how do we handle the missing lunchbox? Do we just let him not have lunch? Do you want to bring it over? What do you want to do? So there's buy-in. So that's a very minor situation that I've seen, quite difficult ones with parents not giving their kids medicine as a way to control, et cetera. What are some of the things you're seeing now, Marianne, with the families going through this?
I'm seeing a lot of CPS involvement where they are creating the alienation to these parents. They'll, in fact, there's a case that I covered in my last book where a 17-year-old was removed after having an appendectomy. And the caseworker told her to put everything in a trash bag, get in her car, and drive to her sister's. And she really didn't have family doctor orders to drive because she just had this appendectomy. And
Wow.
so CPS made a huge mistake there. And then the caseworker told her, I'll decide when you talk to your mother. And also, like, the parents were married, they were still married. But I'm seeing a lot of that where CPS gets their nose in there and they want people to divorce. And they'll say, well, we'll give you your kid back if you divorce. I'm
Wow.
seeing a lot of that is very, so many families broken up by that. I'm also seeing grandparent interfering where a grandparent will make false allegations, say against the son-in-law to get the kids from both of the daughter and the son-in-law. There's a lot of horrible stories I could go on.
No, there seems to not be a lot of concern about keeping kids with their parents. There's overarching. So to be clear, I personally made a decision not to work with parents who have a CPS case because that to me there needs to be a very specific legal intervention with that. I have worked with parents where CPS has been called. They often don't understand the severity of the issue. That this just can't go away because the other parent drops the claim in a lot of cases. It depends on the state. But I worked with, you know, I'm like, when it gets to a CPS level, your options become much more limited with what you can do. And it's not, you know, depending on the state again, the other parent could drop the claim, but CPS has to continue the investigation. And then also a lot of parents who are suffering from alienation on the flip side find out they can't call CPS and no one will get involved. That there's unlike child support, where with child support, if you stop paying, the whole system kind of comes down on you very quickly. You cannot take your kids to visitation for years and nothing will happen of consequence. So what I'm seeing a lot of, when you mentioned grandparents, I have a few cases where it's the grandparent. Or sometimes the stepmom, but the dad died, got custody along those lines.
Have you noticed the custodial interference issue that the judge orders Johnny to see you, the non-custodial parent, on certain days, and the other parent, the alienating parent, just doesn't show up or bring the child? And this happens so frequently, and law enforcement does not know how to handle it.
No, law enforcement does not know how to handle it if they want to touch it at all. So this is where what I do with my coaching comes in. So one thing I teach parents is that once a kid is like over the age of 10 or 12, we can't really force them because I'm not saying that we cannot, but courts don't want to. I ask parents, do you want your child to be arrested to see you? And I respect their decision. But this is a very serious decision to make. I also had a mom who did get like a very intensive reunification therapy program, and then her daughter, as an adult, wants nothing to do with her. So sometimes people think that these very let's say strong solutions are the solution. They can be very hard to get. First of all, so people put a lot of hopes and dreams on getting these orders for very intensive therapy, no visitation for the other parent. They are very hard to get. And what I've been working with parents is to plant the seeds so that the conflict decreases with the other parent and their children are attracted back to them. Go ahead.
Have
And
you
I,
found, okay, have
yeah.
you found,
No, go ahead. Ask and then I can share a story about an extreme case and how this works.
have you found that when a child will say, a 20-year-old, 21-year-old will come back to the parent, and things could be going great for, we'll say, 3 weeks, and then this kiddo, ghosts out, and the parents left saying, "What happened? You know, our things were going great." And they're out of their lives. It could be for 6 months, and then they'll maybe come back and they're like ghosting in and out.
Yeah, I've seen that. So I always tell my moms and my dads, this is like a wave, and when the attention dips, you just have to wait for it to come back. And for all the parents listening who can't see a kid, it is tempting to say, I will suffer, I will fight, I will give everything to see my kid. But your kid needs is the opposite. Your kid needs you to be strong, healthy, happy. Children don't reunite with destroyed, sad parents. So a lot of what I do, now this is normal to be destroyed and sad and angry when you've been victim of an incredible trauma, right? So this is a normal response, but this response doesn't help. One, the trauma response doesn't allow us to think, but also it repels the child from you. So often in these cases, parents are so focused on how do I outreach to my kid? So in the program that I've developed, and I call it the roadmap to reverse parental alienation. Outreach is the last step. And that's where everybody wants to start. But you need to be emotionally prepared to be rejected if that happens, to deal with anger, to know how to deal if you're being accused of things that you didn't do. Most parents. Go, they all they figure they think about is the outreach. And I talk to some parents like, oh, I've been dropping off Christmas gifts for 10 years. I'm like, and how's that working out for you? And they're like, well, no change. I'm like, so parents are always like, should I message or not? And I'm like, sure, no. Until the energy changes, until there's a shift, it's kind of like, sure, keep doing it, don't do it. It doesn't matter. But that's where everyone puts the emphasis was in. So in the cases that I've worked on with adult children the past month or so where I've reunited the parents with the kids, the kid reaches out. Everyone says, well, how does that happen? It's like there's an energy shift they can feel. Also, children are on their own timeline. So something happens in their life. They might need something. They talk to somebody. But I want to give you a case of a dad with a 13-year-old. And so this dad has a now 13-year-old daughter. And at one point, he got mad at her. He was under a lot of pressure. And he broke a toy of hers. He shouldn't have done this. And the mom gets a restraining order against him for a year and a half. He contacts me when the restraining order is about to expire and he says, I'm all ready to go back to court to ask for my visitation to be restored. I said, okay, you can do that. Let's see if we can change the situation without going back to court. Because we can always go back to court. It's expensive. Now our lives are in the hands of a judge. And all this. So he started to reach out to the mom. Now the mom, New York City police officer, who tried to run the dad and the dad's girlfriend separately off the road a few times. And then, of course, he would call the police, and the police were like, well, we're not going to arrest a cop. Right? So we're dealing with some extreme alienation here. By changing the way he messaged her, and by changing the way he outreached to his daughter, and not putting these expectations of he had this right to see her, after a few months, he now sees her once a week. He has overnights with her. He talks on the phone with her for hours. All without a court order. So these situations, even when they're extreme, can be switched. Parents will often spend a lot of time telling me why this won't work, but I'm always like, what you need to show your kids how to deal with a high conflict situation. You need to reduce the conflict for your kids. Then we can see if court, then we can see if other interventions are necessary. But sometimes it's just changing the way you message. I've had a lot of parents who've had very extreme alienation cases who, by not attacking the other parent all the time, have gotten things to change. Will this work 100% of the time? No. But people spend a lot of time saying why it won't work instead of trying it. And then also, the sooner you get ahead of this, the better. So many parents come to me and they said, I wish I knew this 5 years ago.
Right.
I wish I knew about this when the divorce was happening. You know, I wish, you know, they'd say, there's so little education, even among lawyers, how to write an agreement so that it's enforceable, so that it's clear. And a lot of people have cases where alienation happens because the agreements are just so unclear that a bad actor can take advantage of it. The joke I always give is like, if you know someone's high conflict, borderline, or has a history of alienation in their family, you cannot write an order saying, mom gets the kids on Christmas Day. It has to be, mom gets the kids starting at 9 a.m. on Christmas Day until 9 a.m. on the 26th. The kids will be brought to the, you know, it has to be super clear. Otherwise, there's all this vagueness. Like the worst order is kids can see the other parent when they feel like it. That's a recipe for disaster.
Right. Especially when a judge will say, I'm not going to write an order. You two talk about it. It's like, but we can't because the other person's a personality disorder.
Right.
They're not going to answer or even try to work with you. Then the parent has to go back to court. Then it's now back into the judge's hands.
Right. So there's a lot of people get burnt out. They're going back to court all the time. And in part because the system is not able to separate out the cases that really need extra attention from the ones that extra attention would probably make it worse and just encourage more fighting. Like I always think of that movie, A Marriage Story on Netflix.
Okay.
So Scarlett Johansson. And that's a case where like those two people did not need lawyers and the lawyers destroyed that family and took all their money. Then there's cases where people do need help and intervention and the system doesn't know how to differentiate the two. But so much can be done when there are skills, but also the people who work in the system need to be trained on what these disorders look like. Because I was working with a mom who, her ex-husband would send her about 20 to 30 emails a week, each like 3 to 4 pages long, until she would give in to what he wanted. And so I was actually court ordered to work with her. So what I was teaching her were the high conflict institute techniques of, we don't answer every email. We don't start giving arguments. We choose what we answer to. We take our time and we're very brief. And then the caseworker saw this and said, we're going to take your kids away if you don't answer every email he sends. They didn't see that this was harassment. 30 emails in a week, all of them marked urgent, urgent, urgent. And he wanted the kids in a daycare that was on a military base. And then he prevented her from having access to the military base so she couldn't pick up the kids, right? Now, what I did work with her and what she could control, because I'm like, this man is abusive. In fact, some providers refuse to work with them because they're like, we don't want couples fighting or ex-couples fighting in the premise. Mm-hmm. So like the doctors and the dentists would say, both of you are banned from taking your kids to dentist appointments. That's how bad it was. So what I did work with her on was letting go of her going to some medical appointments. Cause she was like, well, it's a chance for me to see my kids and I want to be there. I'm like, but if he's trying to kill you at the medical appointment, it's where you don't go.
Right. Right.
So for all the parents out there listening who are in a dangerous situation, which is not everyone, your health is the most important. Your safety is the most important. And sometimes this desire to really engage and be on top of everything can just create more conflict. So always look for the way to reduce the conflict, to disengage. I've seen some stories. I'm working with a mom now who's the father. She had a restraining order against him because he abused her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets the kids to be like, mom, why are you trying to throw dad in jail? Okay. And then he's like, you know, if you start having coffee with me and we can discuss things, I'll arrange a meeting with the kids because they're fully alienated. And this goes on for months. Okay. And then I asked her, so have you seen the kids yet? She goes, no. I'm like, do you understand what he's doing? He's roping you back in with a promise of the kids. I'm like, you need to treat this like a hostage negotiation. Proof of life. Where are the kids? Bring them to me. So I know you have some power. So I said to her, tell him you're no longer going to talk to him. She goes, I can do that. I'm like, yeah, you're divorced. You can do that. You know, so also to be very careful about these personality types roping you back in.
Most definitely. I'm also seeing a lot of legal abuse where the target parent is constantly being hauled back into court, as I was one of them. But
yeah.
You don't want to go in there. In fact, I told my lawyer, I don't like coming in here. And she goes, really? Because some people like it. Like, oh no, not me. Because you cost money. I breathe on the lawyer. Man, that's 300 bucks gone.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And it's also a ridiculous waste of taxpayer dollars.
It's a complete waste, Marianne. You're so right. It's not the place to resolve these problems. But what do the courts tend to do? They say everyone go to therapy. And I say this as someone who's done years of therapy. I love my therapist. I'm very pro-therapy. This is not good for these situations because what people need are rules of engagement and coaching. And people with personality disorders, and Bill Eddy did a lot, has done a lot of work on this, the High Conflict Institute. They can be coached. They do not respond to therapy. So what people need are, these are how we're going to talk to each other and write an email. It has to follow this checklist. If that doesn't happen, these are consequences. But everyone opening up about their feelings, this is not a good thing for these types of families. So I think the big takeaways for everybody listening is it's never too early to get help. Changing your communication styles and having communication strategies can get the alienation to stop or decrease, which most people don't believe. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but a majority of the time when parents apply these techniques consistently, there's a change. That's the trick, because a lot of parents will like email, follow the techniques I teach, and then they'll be like, stop alienating me. The kids are, you know, suffering. And it's like, well, we have to start all over again. So it has to be very consistent. There's advanced techniques on how to deal with personality disorders that parents can use. And then also I would say, I know a lot of parents don't want to watch a racing family because they're afraid it'll be too painful. It really does. It really is a movie about reuniting and healing.
No, I watched it. I was really impressed. I thought it was very well done.
But you're in this, Marianne. So you're in this topic all, but there's some parents who are like, oh, I just don't want to watch it because I've lived it. And I understand, I'm not saying you have, for the parents out there, you have to watch it, but that it's not a film that leaves you devastated. It's a message of hope. And the big message of the film is that we need to stop this whole who's at fault, who's to blame, and really put the children first.
Most definitely. You know, in fact, there was a movie called The Judge, and my husband wanted me to watch it. It's like, no, I don't want to watch anything that has to do with the judge, right?
Oh, no, totally.
However, Robert Downey Jr. was in it, so that was okay. So I was watching it, and it was really very good. So you may say, oh, I don't want to watch Erasing Family. It's just going to, you know, I'm already in this. I can't handle it. And I was in it as well when it came out. And I was really pleasantly surprised, just like with the movie The Judge.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So I encourage that. And then also for people to see self-care, healing your trauma and learning, you know, living your best life. It isn't a luxury. It's a necessity for your kids.
It really
because
is.
For children, and this is how children love differently than adults. For children, even adult children, because they're still in the position of child, the parent represents not only love, but protection and resources. So if your child reunites with you, but then sees that your life is a wreck, most alienators have really nice lives going for them. And we can't dismiss the draw that that has for children.
Do you think if an alienated child sees like mom or dad having a good time, they may say, well, gee, they're having a great time without me. And then they'll go to the alienator and say, yeah, mom or dad is, they seem perfectly fine without me. And then the alienator will say, oh, they're happy. They're just fine without you. See, I told you.
So there's two solutions to this. One, unless it's unsafe, always go to the visits and your custody exchanges, even if the kids won't go, so they see that you're showing up. So many parents give up. Then also, if you do go to back to court, which we're not fans of, the judge will say, well, you abandoned your kids. You can't stop showing up to a custody exchange and then want the courts to enforce it. That's not how this works. But also the kids feel abandoned. So you need to keep going, you need to keep showing up, you need to keep going to the schools, you need to let the kids know that you love them. And if, I guess if this question is about social media, so I've talked to a lot of reunited kids, they've never said that. If there's a concern on your post, on the post of you having fun, say, can't wait to share this with my son. Can't wait to do this with my daughter. You don't have to say, because we were alienated and I can't see them. You say, we went ice skating and I can't wait to go ice skating with my daughter. She'll love it.
Well, that's a good idea.
Right. So what alienated children say is different than reunited children, and I'm always guided by what the reunited children say. So when I coach families, I'm a member of a team. I'm a leader. And I went through this as a kid. Sometimes I don't lead with that, but like this is how I got into this whole thing. I want no child to suffer like I did. And my other coaches who I work with are all ex-alienated kids who reunited. And sometimes we'll bring on parents who reunited. What I don't have are alienated parents coaching other parents. So, because I'm like, you have to, you know. And what's interesting is all the alienated kids, we all say the same things and advise the same things without having planned it out. And I do this on purpose so that way the parents know that this isn't my crazy theory. So, like, if I say to do stuff, they might be like, well, that's Ginger's thought. So, like, ask another alienated kid. And they all say, you have to heal yourself. You have to be in a good place. You have to show up with unconditional love. So many alienated parents are mad at their children. I understand why, but that won't work in the reuniting.
That's true. Now, I won't keep you all afternoon,
Sure.
but the one last question.
Sure.
What do you say to these people that say parental alienation is pseudoscience, it's a purple unicorn, things like that?
I've never run into them. People in the movement give them way too much oxygen energy. Like, by debating with them, you oxygenate them. I did do a Facebook Live with someone who is against parental alienation, who, by the way, she was an alienated child. So she can't admit that it exists because the mommy's bad. And now she's alienating, right? I had to pay her to interview her. So that's why she came on my Facebook Live. I was like, how much money will it take? She's like, $100. She's like, okay, I'll pay you $100 to be interviewed. And I let her talk and I did not debate with her because then you're getting falling into the high conflict trap. So when people say this doesn't exist, I always just ask people, I'm like, do you know of anybody who after they got divorced had problems seeing their kid and the kid didn't want to see them even though before they did? And they say, yes, I'm like, good enough. They don't have to know the terms, the science. And also, the way people explain this who are really in this movement, sometimes it's just very confusing. They'll be like, it's counterintuitive. I'm like, what does that even mean? So, we need to explain this simply and clearly. And I, you know, people can follow me on social media, which if they want to, is at Erasing Family on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. They can also follow me, Ginger Gentile, on Instagram. On YouTube, I'm the real Ginger Gentile, and I'm actually going to start doing a lot more social media soon. But you'll find I get very few trolls because the message we teach is that kids have the right to know both of their parents, have a relationship with both of their parents. We don't say kids should be forced to love a parent, but they need to know where they come from. That parent shouldn't be erased. We need to remove the blame and start helping people because all alienation is, so I define alienation, I know we're at the end, so I'll make this really quick.
Oh, you're fine.
Alienation is conditional love. The cure is unconditional love. And 95% of the alienators were alienated as children. And maybe 80% of the alienated parents. This is generational trauma. So you as a parent have to break the cycle, or your child will repeat it as an alienated parent or as an alienator. So we're dealing with trauma. So I do not, if you look at what I publish and post, I never say alienators are evil. I say, what can you do? Because maybe the alienator is 97% to blame. Let's focus on your 3%. Because that's where the change and the miracles can happen. And in the past month, I reunited a dad, 5 years no contact with his son, a mom, 1 year no contact with her son, mom, 14 years no contact with her son, mom, 7 years no contact with her son. I helped a dad get a settlement. He had a lawyer, but I taught him how to message his soon-to-be ex-wife. She settled the day before trial. And these were all bad cases. And what I've also found is it's not the severity of the case. It's what the parent is willing to do. It is easier if it's sooner rather than later. A few years in is easier than 30 years.
Right.
I do work with some parents that where it has been 30 years, but that is a tough one. There's hope, but it's so much easier if it's been a short period of time. More so than the severity. People get to say, my case is severe and crazy. I'm like, well, I helped a dad who the mom tried to kill him, now sees the daughter with no court order. He actually goes to dinner with the mom. He's not a fan of it, but I'm like, they're actually able to sit at the table together.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You never hear of that.
Well, it's also just, you know, when I work with parents, I'm always like, let's focus on what is possible. Let's surround yourself by other people who are reuniting, not people who are complaining. And if people say it's impossible, my ex will never change, I'm like, then you're right. But now if you say, is there a way for me to get the alienation to reduce 5% each month and actually have metrics? That's possible. So we're not saying everything will be fine in a month, but we're not saying everything will always be this bad. And the parents begin to celebrate the wins. Like, my kid responded in a text message. They said hi to me today. The other parent was polite to me. Mm-hmm. And then those wins build and they feel back in control again, instead of completely out of control, either fighting or becoming a doormat. And it's neither. I don't teach people how to fight and win and destroy the other person. I don't teach them to give up everything and become a doormat. So,
no, that's great. That's great. I'm glad you came in contact with Bill Eddy, and all of this has evolved.
Yeah, he's great.
I'd like to have you come back on Slam the Gavel podcast sometime. And again, you said people can reach you at reverseparentalalienation.com.
Reversingparentalalienation.com.
Gotcha.
I'm also very easy to Google, but when you go to reversingparentalalienation.com, I make this very clear on my website, I do not coach over email. There is a group coaching and course people can join right on the website called The Roadmap. And it's not just me doing the calls. It's also ex-alienated kids. We had a mom who reunited who went from seeing her daughter three times a month to 100% overnights. And that is because her daughter was abusing drugs at the dad's house. But even then it was a fight to get her daughter back. Don't just think because there's drug use, the court's giving you her kids, right?
Right, right.
Other kids also. And then I also do one-on-one coaching, and people can sign up for that for the website. But, you know, it's unethical for me without knowing your entire situation to advise you. So when people ask a question, I say, you need to get into one of my programs. Because that's when I can work and I understand the full thing. Because otherwise it's like, should I go to my kid's graduation? I'll say, sure. Uh-huh. I might not know that the parent has a restraining order.
Right. So sad.
I might not know what the kid said. So every case, so there's general rules. Each case is different. And that's why with the course, even there's live coaching. It's recorded if you can't make it, but that way we can adjust what we're teaching to you. So for example, I had a mom on who's like, will you say to never tell the truth to kids? Right? Because we don't want to get the kids and say, I'm going to sit you down and tell you what's going on here. But right. She's like, I was abused, and how do I let my kids know? I said, I'm gonna make this really quick because I know we gotta go.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Can I curse?
You're allowed to. Yeah, let it rip.
Okay. You need to serve your kids a shit sandwich. So you need to say good, bad, good. So your dad is a loving dad. He takes such good care of you. He teaches you soccer, blah, blah, blah. But when we were married, he made me feel afraid and unsafe. So I had to get a restraining order. Was that the best decision at the time? That's what I felt. Maybe it wasn't. I'm open to that. And when you get older, when you're in a relationship, I'm happy to talk to you about this. But right now, you and your dad, my dad, no, your dad and me are able to get along. We're able to be in the soccer game together. We're not going to hang out together. We're not friends, but we both love you very much. So mommy can't have contact with daddy, but he's a great dad for you. Which is very different than on May 15th, 2022, when I was washing the dishes, your dad came in from behind and broke a plate behind me, scaring me. I then tripped and fell and he kicked me. This is too much for the kids. But we also don't have to lie and say there was no abuse, right?
That's true.
So again, people can reach out to me, reversingparentalalienation.com on social media. It's my film's media accounts at Erasing Family. Definitely send me a DM and we can send you resources, but we're not going to coach you over a DM.
Gotcha. Okay, hey, don't jump off.
Sure.
Slam the Gavel is a podcast to help the public understand what really goes on in these family courtrooms. I'm your host, Marianne Petrie, author of Dismantling Family Court Corruption, Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough, and Cry Out for Justice, Poems of Truth, and Raised by These Wolves, How Family and Federal Courts Are Failing Our Children. You can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple iTunes, Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, and other platforms I don't even know about. And feel free to donate to buy me a coffee to help keep this podcast going. And I thank you, filmmaker Ginger Gentile, for coming on and talking to us all.
Thank you.